Launched it last week. I launched a series last week, and this series called Glory. And part of what I want to try and do is really just look at what this word glory means, because we tend to use it in today's society in a very broad way, and sometimes in a way that I don't think we fully appreciate and understand what the Bible actually means when it speaks about glory. And so we've been looking at that. We looked at how the word glory is used over 500 times throughout the scriptures. That's how important it actually is. And how we, in the series, what we're going to be doing is looking at glory all around us. And we started looking at that last week. We want to look at God's glory at work within us. Then we want to look at His glory working through us. And then we want to look finally at a glorious church. And so I want to unpack all of those things. And so if you happen to miss last week, I'd strongly encourage you to go check out our brand new website. Anyone checked out our brand new website? Here we are. Do something for me right now. Just grab your phone. Get your phone out right now. Come on. There's you. I know you got your phones here because I see you doing it while I'm preaching. Hopefully you're taking good notes. You're not checking Facebook and Instagram. Selfies, you know. Making sure everyone knows you're at church. Is Pastor Matt preaching such a great message? Look, I'm in the background. Yeah, just take it out. Go to www.fusioncitychurch.com.au. And the reason why we've just relaunched this website, and so why don't you go check it out. And if you go have a look, you'll actually find a section where it speaks about, I think it's media. And you'll actually see that it gives a link to actually all our messages. So you can actually go in and it'll take you to a thing called Podbean, where all the podcasts for all our messages are on there. And you can actually follow that. You can actually do a follow on that so that you can be updated whenever there's a new message that's loaded up there. And so if you ever happen to miss anything, or if you hear a message and you think, man, there's someone I really love to hear that, you can actually just point them to that, and they'll be able to hear everything that goes on. So there you go. So bookmark that. Make sure you know where it is, because there's a whole bunch of stuff on there that's going to help keep you up to date as to what's happening in the life of the church as well. All the details about Pastor Robbie's visit are on there, plus a whole heap of other things, small groups, etc., etc. So go check that out and just enjoy that. Some people have been asking me, who are those people on the very front page? We haven't seen them at church. And I said, those are the prophetic people that we're proclaiming that are going to be coming to our church when we move into the new hub. So there we go. We do know they're not in our church, but we are working on that. Okay, so it's all good. All right. But glory. And so, you know, God's glory, as I said last week, is almost, I'm doing the impossible task of trying to describe a word that's impossible to describe. It's a bit like beauty. Imagine trying to describe that word beauty to someone who's never seen beauty. It's really hard to articulate what actually is it. When you've seen it, then you know what it is. And it's the same thing with glory, is that it can be a hard thing to articulate, but when you catch a glimpse of God's glory, that's when you go, aha, that's what it is. And so over this series, that's what we're hoping to be able to do. We looked at last week how the word glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod, K-A-B-O-D, and it means weight or heaviness. It means something that there's a weight or heaviness to God's presence. And it's used over 200 times in the Old Testament. And it speaks about the weightiness of God. Not just His presence, but the weightiness of His presence. I want you to catch that, because glory speaks about something of substance. It speaks about God's very essence. It speaks about the nature of who He is. He is the one who's called in the Bible the God of glory. And who says in scriptures like Isaiah 42 verse 8, He says, I'm the Lord, that is my name. He says, I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. And the question I posed to us last week is, what are we actually giving our praise to? What are we actually giving glory to in our lives? There's so many different things we can actually end up giving glory to as opposed to giving glory to God. And I don't have to list them all, because you'd be very aware what those things are. But the challenge is, are we giving glory to the right one? You know, the weight of God's glory we saw last week was the very thing that caused Solomon and some of his priests, when they brought the Ark of the Lord back into the tabernacle after it had been returned from captivity, it caused them to fall flat on their faces, unable to do anything. Such was the weightiness of God's presence. Such was the weight of His glory. As His glory filled that place, as the Ark of the Lord came in. See, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Literally, when you come face to face with the glory of God, you cannot remain the same. You will be changed. You will be transformed. You cannot. This is not, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about something that is weighty, something that is God's very essence and being alive around us and within us. And we were created by His glory and for His glory. And where worship is given to other things, that's where the glory departs. It was interesting that in that I was referring to the story of Solomon and his priests. And it actually said that Eli, who was the high priest in that day, he says when the ark was taken into captivity previously to that, it says that his daughter actually named her son Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. You see, God doesn't want the glory to depart in your life. So the question is, who or what are you giving glory to? You give glory to Him, the glory won't depart. He says, if you're giving glory to a whole bunch of other things, don't expect God's glory to be manifest in your life when you're giving glory to a whole bunch of other things. We need to get the focus right. We need to get the thrust of our worship right. You know, you may not be feeling His glory right now. You might have come to church today. Maybe you've got need. Maybe you've just kind of come because there's a real hunger in your heart, for you know something needs to shift and change. You may have a lot of stuff going on and your sight might be very darkened at the moment. But I want to say to you, don't lose hope just because you can't necessarily see it right now. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Psalm 19. It says this. It says that even if you can't see it, it says that heavens are declaring the glory of the Lord. You see, you just have to lift your head and just begin to look around you. And begin to kind of see, actually, oh, look at the birds. I went for a walk this morning as I was praying for this morning's meeting, and I'm walking out in the fields, and I see the kangaroos. I'm saying, God, there's your glory. I look up at the tree, I go, God, there's your glory. I see birds in a tree, I say, God, there's your glory. I look at the mountains in the distance, say, God, there's your glory. I look at the fields and the valleys and say, God, there's your glory. I'm looking all around me at the grass, and God, there's your glory. I see that little ant that's running around, millions of little ants running all over the place. And I say, God, there's your glory. You look at the person next to you, there's His glory. When you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror, there's His glory. I know sometimes it's hard to recognize that, but His glory is there. His glory is everywhere. We've just got to lift our heads. We've got to lift our heads above our situations and circumstances and say, God, what I'm not seeing, I just want to lift my head. And it says that the whole of creation is shouting of your glory. The whole of creation is speaking of your greatness. The whole of creation is speaking about who you are. So don't be discouraged if you come in here today and you can't see His glory. He says, just lift your head and you'll see it. Look around you and you'll see it. He says, my glory is everywhere for you to behold. We were made to live under this glory, with that glory alive inside of us, and for that glory. In the New Testament, the word that's used for glory is the word doxa, D-O-X-A. And it actually means honor or praise, worship. It actually comes from the word, that root word that means an opinion or a view. So it's all about making sure that you've got the right opinion, the right view of God. What are you viewing right now? How are you viewing God? Because glory is about worshiping Him. It's having the right view of God that causes praise, worship, honor to flow forth. You see, worship is not a religious act. It's not something that you do at the beginning of a service. You have a few songs and you kind of go through a couple of songs. You know, yeah, that's what you do at the beginning at church on a Sunday. You come and you sing four songs and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we kind of do this religious act. No, worship is a spontaneous response to, as we have a right view of God, of who He is and all of His majesty, all of His splendor, all of His magnificence. It says, God, it doesn't matter what's going on in my world right now, but I cannot help but worship when I see You in all of Your glory. It's a response like that. That's worship. That's good. That's what God wants us to be living in more and more. Yeah. It means to worship His magnificence. And when we begin to do that, our lives begin to make sense to it, and that we understand that we're called to bring glory to His glory. Yeah. That's what you're called to do. You're called to bring glory to His glory. And it's for this that we were actually created. It's for this that you were created, to bring glory to His glory. You know, the phrase that's often used in the Bible, we looked at last week, is this thing of being radiant with His glory. And it speaks about the light shining into darkness. And we live in an age that's perpetuated by darkness and the good news of the gospel. But good news of the gospel is that light comes into that darkness and brings hope. Because God wants his glory to shine into that darkness. And he wants the radiance of his glory to shine. To shine within us. You know, I want to do something here this morning. And I want to look a little bit more detail with regards to God's glory at work within us. We spoke last week about his glory around us. But now I want to look at it within us. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll pick it up in verse 7. And it'll be up on the screens as well if you want to follow along. But we're going to read a portion of scripture here. And it's entitled in my Bible, The Greater Glory of the New Covenant. And it says this in verse 7. It says, Now the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadily in the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Just think about that statement. Just think about that statement right there. What was glorious now has no glory in comparison to the surpassing glory. And if that which was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away, but their minds are made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, the glory of the Lord is not just out there. God also wants us to understand that his glory is actually within through Jesus Christ. Actually, there's something here. Last week we spoke about how Moses' face shone. You remember that? Remember I got my little torch here that I had last week? And some of you are going, oh no, I know what he's going to do. But here my little torch and I said, you know, when Moses went up to the mountain and actually spent time and he didn't even see the fullness of God's presence. He just saw the kind of after effects of God's presence because he wasn't allowed to see God in his fullness. But he kind of just saw the after effects. And it says that when he came down, it said it was like his face just shone. His face just radiated because he'd been in the glory of the Lord. There was something about him that just shone that when people looked, they couldn't actually. It was like they were just seeing the light. Just like right now, you're looking at me, you're just seeing the light. You're saying, Matt, please turn that off. I can't see you. Well, that's exactly the point is, as he spent time in God's presence, he came down and he radiated the glory of God. And that was just the after effects of God's glory. That wasn't the fullness. But what would actually happen as he came down is that he'd have to wear a veil. He'd have to put this covering over his face. Why? Firstly, because people were scared of what they were actually seeing on him because there was clearly something supernatural that was going on here. But there was a second reason. The second reason was that glory would fade as he was out of God's presence. So as he was out of the presence of God, that glory would just slowly fade. That's what the scripture is telling us here. It would fade over time. And so he put a veil because he didn't want people to lose hope in the fact that their leader was the glory was fading. He didn't want that to be the case. And so he put the veil over until the next time he would actually go and be in the presence of the Lord. And this text here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, says that we don't live under the dispensation that Moses lives under. We actually live under a different dispensation. We actually live under something that's no longer is it just an external glory. But now because of Jesus, we have the glory of the new covenant alive inside of us. No longer is it this external thing that just fades because you're not in God's presence. But now you actually have the very presence of Jesus through his Holy Spirit alive inside of you. And because of that, the glory of the new covenant continues to shine. That's an incredible thing. And it says in this text here, whereas the glory that Moses was exposed to was temporary, the glory of this new covenant, it actually says here, we read it, it says it's greater and is lasting. So Paul writes here and he says it's a greater glory. And in fact, it makes the glory that Moses saw almost seem not like glory. Don't you think? I just think far out. What a limited understanding, God, I have of your glory. If you're saying that the glory that Moses saw, that Solomon and those guys saw and experienced, almost seems like not glory in comparison to the glory of the new covenant, God, my understanding of your glory needs to increase. I'm not fully comprehending and understanding the magnificence of this glory because you say it's even greater. So if you thought lifting your head and seeing God's glory all around us is great, what's even greater is seeing it and experiencing it within. No longer do we need a veil like Moses had. No longer do we need to cover it. But in verse 16, it said in this text, it said, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You don't need to have a veil over your face anymore because the glory is fading. So when you turn your heart to Jesus, when you invite Jesus into your life, it says the veil is taken away. No longer does that glory need to kind of fade. Because why? Because we actually have the glory of the new covenant, the glory that Jesus ushered in, now alive inside of us. You know, the veil, when I was thinking about that term, I think it represents some of the masks that we sometimes have in life. Some of the things that we actually have because we use masks to mask our imperfections. We, just as Moses would have tried, he was trying to mask the imperfection of his own humanity coming out and the glory dimming. He would wear a veil. Sometimes I think we do the same thing. We do the same thing to actually mask some of our imperfections. I was thinking about this, thinking about what kind of examples. I thought, man, you know what? It's a great example of that. Instagram. To me, Instagram is, I mean, I use it, I got it, but it's a prime example because I watch people and they're just trying to post about their perfect lives with perfect pictures, with perfect words. Here's the worst thing is when people start reposting the perfect things that others are saying about their perfect lives, about them, and they start reposting them and say, look what someone else said about me. I'm like thinking, how's the world got so messed up that we're now having to tell people about, oh, you're aware that Lance said this about me? Let me tell you what Lance said about me. Why are we doing that? Because we're trying to mask. It's a mask. We're trying to actually hide the fact that actually there's deep dissatisfaction in our spirit and we're living for affirmation. We desperately want affirmation. But here's the thing. No amount of likes are ever going to give you the affirmation that only Jesus can give you. Take off the mask. I wish more people would get a little bit more real with their Instagramming and actually begin to show life as it really is. That sometimes we're a mess. Sometimes we're really a big mess and we need a lot of help. I'd kind of go, that would probably be a more healthy. So if you're guilty of just showing everyone your perfect life, can I challenge you this morning to say, hey, take off the mask. See, God doesn't want your mask. He wants you. Yes. So hello? So God doesn't want your mask. He wants you. He wants the real you. He wants you with all your strengths, but also all your flaws. He wants that one. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes and I see all kinds of things, but God wants the real us, the real you. You know, think about it this way. Why would we need glory within if our lives are perfect? The reality is they're not. That's why we need his glory alive inside of us. And there's a place of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We often quote that text, but we don't quote it in the context of all the other stuff that Paul's talking about, where he's talking about glory and he's talking about all this other stuff. We just take that one text out and we just quote it, but it's in the context of all the stuff that I'm talking about in this series. God wants his glory to be alive inside of us. It's not about performance or trying to be perfect, because we know that no amount of good works, no amount of self-effort is ever going to make you more acceptable or a better person in God's eyes. He says, I love you already with the most extravagant love, and I showed that by sending my son Jesus to die for you. He says, that's how I showed it. It says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17, you read it, and it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, Jesus wants to set us free from the curse of comparison and performance. It's a scourge of our society, I believe. Everyone's comparing themselves to everyone else, and everyone's trying to perform and do all these various things, and God wants to set us free. Jesus wants to set you free. He doesn't want you to be living under that, but this is what he wants you to do. He says he wants you to gaze and contemplate his glory, rather. That word for contemplate literally means to continually see as in a mirror or to reflect. He wants you to contemplate, to look. I've got a mirror here. Say hello to my mirror. You didn't have to do that, but thank you for doing it anyways. I have a mirror here. And sometimes when we have a mirror, and most of us in the mornings would kind of take a mirror and we would gaze into it. Some of us, on our good days, we're like, yeah, that's right, you're looking pretty good. Oh, yeah, look at those muscles. I know some of you guys do that. It's okay. I have known to catch my sons in various moments. Certain poses. We won't mention which sons. Other days, I look in that mirror, and I'm not so excited about what I see. I go, whoa, where did that wrinkle come from? Whoa! Where did that white hair come from? Whoa! Gee, you're looking ugly today. I don't know if anyone else like that kind of has days like that. I have days like that. Normally on a Monday. See what you guys do to me. No, you don't do that to me. I do it to myself. But what do you see when you look in the mirror? Here's the thing. Some of us, when you look in the mirror, we don't just see physical appearance. We see other things. We see things like pain. We see things like regret. We see things like hurt and failure, loneliness, imperfection. And when we look at those things, you see, what you begin to reflect is what you become. What you begin to reflect is actually what you become. And if you keep on gazing into there, and all that you're seeing is hurt, all that you're seeing is loneliness, all that you're seeing is imperfection, all that you're seeing is pain. Since that's what you're going to be, you're going to have all those things manifest in your life. But this text tells us that we're called to reflect, to contemplate, to reflect and mirror the glory of the Lord. This is actually a thing of hope for you, because if you've been someone who's been guilty of seeing your reflection the way that I've been saying, that can change today. You can begin to reflect. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. It says, for God said, let light shine out of darkness. And he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. Listen to this. In the face of Jesus. What face do you see when you look in the mirror? Whose face are you seeing when you look in the mirror? Your face of imperfection, or the face of the glory of Jesus, who when he looks at you, doesn't see imperfection, but says you are perfectly made. I have a perfect plan for your life. You're beautiful. I love you. You're amazing. You're incredible. Do you see that? Somebody said, no, I don't see that. Well, my prayer is that you would see that as you begin to contemplate and reflect the face of Jesus, because that's exactly what he sees when he looks at you. He sees that when he looks at you. You become what you gaze upon. Gaze upon the face of Jesus. Gaze upon the glory that is in him. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to be seeing yourself through the eyes of pain, through the eyes of hurt. That may still be something of the reality of your situation, but what enables you to live above it is when you see your reflection in the face of Jesus, when you contemplate his glory. That's what enables you to live above those things. You know, I've got face recognition technology on my phone. Many of us have. And I love that when I turn on my phone, I can unlock my phone because it recognizes my face. If you come and put your face on my phone, no matter how much you try and make yourself look like me, it's very hard. I'm very unique. But no matter how much you try, you're not going to be able to unlock my phone. Why? Because there's only one face. Hello? There's only one face that can unlock all the benefits that are in this. There's only one face that it recognizes that's going to unlock all the benefits, all the rewards that are actually in this. And the same thing applies. Stop gazing upon all the other things. Stop gazing upon all the other faces that society tries to throw at us. Gaze upon the face of Jesus. Gaze upon his glory. It's that's going to unlock all the benefits, all the rewards of what the new covenant is about. Jesus wants that for your life. He wants you to live in that fullness. Listen to what the Bible says that Jesus sees when he looks at you. I'm going to read this out, and I want you just to listen. Everything I'm going to mention here is from the Bible. And I want you to just sit, and I want you to just personalize this. And I want you to say, God, this is how you see me as you listen to these words. It says, you are valuable. I'm the creator, and you are my creation. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. I created you in my own image. My eyes saw your unformed substance, and I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know the very hairs on your head, and before a word is on your tongue, I know it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more valuable than anything the world has to offer. I've given you dominion over all of creation. I've crowned you with glory and honor. However, from the very beginning, you exchanged the truth about me for a lie. You worshipped and served created things rather than me, the creator. You have sinned and fallen short of my glory. And just as I said to Adam and Eve, the penalty for your sin is death. And in your sin, you were spiritually dead. You were children of wrath, living as enemies to me, and you turned aside from me. You became corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. And what you deserve is my righteous judgment. And yet, in my great love, I gave my unique son, that all of those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. While you were still hostile towards me, you were reconciled to me by the death of my son. Sin doesn't have to have the last word. Grace does. Not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you who have believed are born again. I've adopted you. You're children of God, heirs of God. You are no longer orphans. You belong to me. And I love you as a perfect father loves. You are new in my eyes. You are a brand new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Sin is no longer your master, for you died to sin and are now alive to me. You are finally free from the slavery of sin and death. There is now no condemnation for you. All your sins are forgiven. All your unrighteousness has now been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You are now righteous in my sight with the very righteousness of my perfect son. You've been saved by grace. You've been justified by faith. You are utterly secure in me. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love in Christ Jesus. No one is able to snatch you out of my hand, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have my spirit. You will not only have a new father, but you have a new family of brothers and sisters. You are now now part of the people of God, and together the life you now live is by faith in my Son. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. Christ is in you by my Spirit, and you are in Christ. Stay close to Jesus. Abide in him, for your life is found in him. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Don't live by your own power and understanding. No, live by my Spirit within you. Remember, I have given you the Holy Spirit to be with you and to be in you. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, to help you to obey me and empower you to do my work. You will be transformed as you seek me and see more of my glory. I'm transforming you into the image of my Son. One day you will be delivered from your body of death through Jesus Christ, and your dwelling place will be with me forever. And I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. You will drink from the springs of the water of life without payment. And I myself will make you a feast. You will enter my rest and inherit the kingdom I prepared for you, and step into the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. But most of all, you will see my face and be where I am. You represent me, therefore walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You're no longer in darkness, but reflecting the light of my Son. Walk as children of light. You are the light of the world, and I've called you. I've chosen you. Through Jesus, you are victorious. You have a glorious future. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador of my Son. Are you reflecting that glory? That's what the Bible has to say about how Jesus sees you. Those aren't my words. That's the word of the Bible. That's how Jesus sees you. Are you reflecting that glory? Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, if we come back to that text where we read, he says the Jews at the time were so focused on what had been with Moses, or they were so focused about what was still to come with the coming Messiah, that they missed the fact that Jesus was actually right there amongst them. And actually, no longer was it about external glory, but actually now there was a greater glory that he wanted to reveal within. Don't be those that are so distracted by the things, the external things, that you miss the freedom that is found in Christ. Some of us here are so beheld and trapped by the past, or you're so enamored and distracted by the allure of the future that you're not living in the now or the grace or the glory of God. And God says, man, I want you to live in that, because it's a greater glory than anything that you've seen or could imagine. And it's as we take off the veil and as we begin to contemplate and reflect his glory that we are transformed. Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Worship team, you guys can come and join me up here. You might say, okay, Matt, so I hear you. What do I do? What do I do? Well, to me, there's three things you can do very simply. First thing is just reflect his glory through his word. You want to know, how do I get to know this glory deeper ways? His word. Start there. Because the Bible is all about reflecting his glory. And he wants you to understand it and know it. You know, the Mount of Transfiguration where Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in all of his glory, and they were like, man, this is so amazing. We just want to pitch a tent here. We want to live in this place. It's so amazing. And a voice comes down from heaven and says, this is my Son whom I've chosen. Listen to him. See, obeying the word, Jesus is the word, it's one of the ways that we see the glory. One of the ways it reflects his glory. We see his glory through his word. Why? Because we see Jesus. Secondly, you reflect his glory through our worship. Worship is what takes us from that distant relationship to a wonderfully personal, intimate, inner relationship with him. In the Old Testament, it was a cloud that was far off that people couldn't approach. But in the New Testament, His glory is alive inside of you and me. And our worship, as I said earlier, is an overflow of that. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 4 verse 11, it speaks about the heavenly creatures. And then it goes on to say this in verse 11. It speaks about the 24 elders. And it says the 24 elders, they did an interesting thing. It says they took off their crowns. Some of us need to take off our crowns. Out there in the world's given us many crowns. It says they took off their crowns. And they worshipped, fell on their knees before Jesus and declared this: "You are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Some of us need to do that this morning and just come with that heart of worship. Say, "God, I'm sorry for what I've made it. I'm taking off my crown and I'm coming before you." And then lastly, you simply need to live and reflect His glory through the way that you live. Make sure you deal with what might hinder. Live for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10 says, whatever you do, do it all for His glory. Whatever. Even the most mundane task, even the most unspiritual thing, just do it for His glory. Do you know that even in suffering, Jesus can reveal His glory? The Bible says, for it's our light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us an eternal glory. See, even in the midst of difficulty, you can find the glory of God. Won't you stand with me, please? God's glory is around us. God's glory is within us. Paul says it's a greater glory than what Moses saw. No more veils, no more masks are needed. You don't need to hide from that glory. It's that glory within. It's seen in the face of Jesus. When we begin to see ourselves through His face, His reflection, things begin to make sense. And that's when we begin to be transformed into His image with ever increasing glory. There's a process of God just wanting to this glorious work to continue in your and my life. And He says, the more you gaze upon me, the more you unlock that process. And He says, I'm going to transform you into that which you see. That which He sees. And no longer are you going to be held captive by all these things, these chains, these masks, the past, the mistakes, the labels. He says, no longer will you be held captive by those things, but where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where is He? He's within. There is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. Jesus wants you to live free. No longer with the things that have been holding you captive. No longer under all of those masks that you've been having up. He says, today, take it off. Today, unveil and just begin to gaze upon me. Begin to see my face. Begin to see your face through my face. And He says, and as you do that, He says, the glory of the Lord will set you free. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the glory of the new covenant. That is the God that I serve. Not a distant God whose mountain I can't come to because His glory is there. But now because of Jesus, access has been given. I can now enter freely into the glorious presence of the Lord, unashamed. Because Jesus has paid every price that I might have to have paid. And it was a complete price once and for all. You can live in the freedom of how Jesus sees you. That's good news. That's good news. We're going to worship. Because when you speak about glory, you got to worship. You got to worship Him for who He is. You got to gaze upon the face of Jesus and worship Him. And we're going to do the same thing as what we did last week, where we just encourage people to say, man, if you want to behold God's glory, if you want to look into the face of Jesus, you can do it where you are. But there's something powerful about when you just get out of your seat and say, God, today something shifts, today something changes, and I'm coming into your presence, and I'm going to worship with God's people, and I'm going to get on my knees before you, and I'm just going to lift up my face to you, and I'm going to say, God, I'm surrendering. Lord, if there's stuff I have to say sorry for, I'm going to do that. If there's masks I need to take off, I'm going to do that. If there's a mirror I have to come and look into, I'm going to do that, Lord God. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And I know, and I'm believing over this series, as we respond to Him, that we're going to see more and more of the glory of God. We're going to see His manifest presence, not just in some intellectual kind of way, but experientially, knowing that freedom that Paul writes about. Let's worship Him. And I encourage you, make your way down here. No pressure, but just make your way down here. If you're just kind of saying, man, I need to respond to Jesus today. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you need to give your heart to Him. You're hearing me talk today. Maybe you've been out of church for a while and say, man, I need to make things right. I'm saying, well, you also come on down. And we would love to stand with you and worship with you and glorify Jesus with you. And I believe something's going to happen as we do this. Let's lift our voices. Let's worship Him. Let's praise His name.